Church-going religion, particularly church-going religion, in this country has declined very rapidly in the last 50 years or so, hasn't it? And that's not true just in this country, it's true all over the Western world, particularly in Europe. Up to, say, about 50 years ago, very roughly, lots of people genuinely thought that indulging in a bit of religion would do them some good before God. They may not have wanted to be too keen about it, but in some way they wanted to pay their respects to God. What they knew was that it was important to be in a right relationship with God. If you like, they treated God a little like some awkward grandparent or some boss who's always flying off the handle. They did just enough to stay on the right side of God. That was their view. Now, that attitude is still quite common, isn't it, amongst older people. Now, let me just say, people always get nervous when you start talking about older people and younger people. And I really apologize if I've called you old and you don't feel old. I mean here by older very, very roughly. People who were brought up before the 1960s. And if I've called you old and you feel fit as a fiddle, I apologize. But amongst younger people, very roughly people brought up in the 60s and then later, that attitude is disappearing, isn't it? People no longer have such a sense that God will be displeased with them if they don't do a bit of religion, if they don't go to church occasionally, have their children baptized, get married in church. What's largely being lost amongst this age group is the whole idea that there is something about our relationship with God that needs to be put right. Now, the key term, as I'm sure you know, that the Bible uses here is righteousness. A righteous person is someone who is in a right relationship with God. Now, in the passage from Philippians that was read to us, what grips the Apostle Paul, what is absolutely obsessing him at this point, is our desperate need to be in a right relationship with God. And in this passage, he talks about two kinds of righteousness, the wrong kind and the right kind. The wrong kind of righteousness is the kind of righteousness we try and do ourselves to restore our relationship with God. The right kind of righteousness is what God does for us, himself, to restore our relationship with him. Now, you may remember, well done if you do, that we're in the middle of a series on Philippians. We took a break through August. So just a reminder, if you don't have instant recall of all the sermons that were preached through July. Up to this point in Philippians, very roughly, Paul has been saying, it's only Jesus Christ that matters. Paul himself is in prison. But what he says to the church in Philippi is, look, it doesn't matter that I'm in prison. I don't care, as long as people are preaching about Jesus. He says, I don't care if I'm in prison, if you Christians, as long as you Christians are living according to the example that Jesus Christ set in humbling himself to you. That's what matters, he says. Now, in this passage, in Philippians chapter 3, you may find it helpful to open it up, if you like, on page 186 of the New Testament sections, Philippians chapter 3. Here, Paul comes to explain why Jesus is so central. And it's simply this. Jesus is so central because it's our attitude to Jesus that determines whether we are righteous or unrighteous. It's our attitude to Jesus that determines whether we are in a right relationship with God or a wrong relationship with God. And Paul says here very simply, you can either look for the wrong kind of righteousness in yourself, or you can look for the right kind of righteousness in God. So simply just a few thoughts on the wrong kind and the right kind of righteousness. Paul gives us his own life as the best illustration he knows of going as far as you possibly can with the wrong kind of righteousness. Do you look at verse 5? This is Paul describing his own life as a very devout religious Jew. circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law blameless. And Paul says all of that, all those religious things, he calls them confidence in the flesh. Now that's a strange expression, isn't it? Confidence in the flesh. What he really means is simply righteousness which I try and achieve for myself. That's the way of the flesh, as Paul calls it. Paul says, I was as committed to religion as you possibly can be, and I thought that that was enough to put things right between me and God. Now, another reason why Paul calls this the flesh, confidence in the flesh, is a reason particular to him, and that's to do with circumcision. For Paul, what counted before was getting circumcision right. It was important to him that it was done on the eighth day, when he was 8 days old, when it was supposed to be done. Now, you remember back in the Old Testament, circumcision is a mark that God gave his people in their flesh, something branded into them to show that they belong to him. If you like, it's a little like a tattoo that someone may get, you know, on their arm, a heart with an arrow through it saying, Sid and Doris forever, or something. It's a mark on your flesh to show that you are committed to a relationship. That's circumcision. Over time, though, the people of Israel became more interested in the sign, the physical sign, than in the relationship it pointed to. You know, like someone who spends all of his time admiring his tattoo and not focusing on the person the tattoo speaks about. The people focused on their religious duty, how they performed it, getting it right. They'd forgotten that circumcision was a sign, simply a sign of what God had done for them. But then Paul becomes a Christian and everything changes. This is now his new attitude. This is how he talks about people who go around circumcising people. Look out for the dogs. Look out for those evil workers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Now that is incredibly harsh, isn't it? Paul says, if you're circumcised, but all you're focusing is on your religious observance, getting it right, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and you're not focusing on what God has done for you, then circumcision is just pointless mutilation. Just pointless laceration of your body. An external mark is just pointless mutilation unless it expresses an internal relationship with God. Now, not many of us, maybe none of us, are Jews, are we? But nevertheless, this attitude is very easy for us to slip into. Actually, whether we're Christian or whether we're not. Our problem here is religion. Our problem is religion. Now, let me make it clear what I mean. By religion, I mean an attitude, the attitude of formal church going. It's the attitude that thinks that doing religious things will be enough to make God pleased with me. Upholding church traditions, dressing the right way, behaving the right way, behaving respectably, doing what religious people do. And God says, none of that will bring you an inch closer to me. None of it. And that's what Paul realized. It's the wrong kind of righteousness. See, our problem with God is so profound that indulging in religion, however deeply and committedly you do it, is not going to put you in a right relationship with God. Religion will not do it. Now, some people tragically never become Christians because they don't realize this point. They will not give up the futile attempt to achieve their own righteousness before God, often by their own religious commitment. That is the wrong kind of righteousness. Now, Christians also need to hear this, don't we, if we're going to be mature believers. If you're a Christian, think how often we try and keep our relationship with God going. How we try and put it right when it's gone wrong by trying to be just a bit more religious. Maybe you fall for the same old sin again and again and again. And it's so tempting, isn't it, to pray to God, well, okay, God, I'll make up for it by being a little more devoted to church, by reading my Bible a little more often, doing one or two more religious things. Now, clearly, none of those things in themselves are wrong. But religion, where it's gone wrong, is the attitude that those things in themselves will make God pleased with me again. That's religion, and it's a problem. It's the wrong kind of righteousness. Now, what about the right kind? The right kind of righteousness. Paul talks about that in verses 8 and 9. Let me read them to you. He says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on the law, but that righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Now, briefly, three things about the right kind of righteousness. Firstly, the right kind of righteousness comes completely from God, not from me. Paul says it's not a righteousness of my own. We find this hard, don't we, to take on this kind of righteousness. How often do you argue with a friend in a restaurant or a cafe over who's going to pay the bill? No, let me. As it goes, how often do you hear an older person say, I don't want to be a burden to anyone. Why do we say these things? It's because we like to make a contribution, don't we? We don't want to receive and give nothing back. We don't want to be dependent. But God says, when it comes to righteousness, you can contribute nothing. You are totally dependent. There is a burden, and it falls completely on God. See, the right kind of righteousness comes completely from God. Secondly, the right kind of righteousness comes through the faithfulness of Christ. It comes through the faithfulness of Christ. Now, if you have your Bible open, we're listening carefully to the reading, I'll need to explain something here. Because Paul says righteousness comes through faith in Christ. That's how our translation has it. Through faith in Christ. Now, of course, as you know, our Bibles are simply a translation of the Greek that Paul originally wrote. Now, I'm going to suggest that it would be possible to translate what Paul wrote in a way slightly better than we have here. As are not misleading. But I think Paul says something slightly different to what we have here. What would be a better translation is if Paul says, the right kind of righteousness comes through the faithfulness of Christ. Not through faith in Christ, but through the faithfulness of Christ. Now, if that seems confusing, let me explain the difference. If you talk, as our Bibles do here, of righteousness coming through faith in Christ, what you're talking about is how we receive God's righteousness. Well, we receive it by faith. But if you talk about righteousness coming through the faithfulness of Christ, then what you're talking about is how God makes it possible in the first place for us to be in a right relationship with him. See, we have not been faithful to God, have we, either in our love for him or in our obedience to him. But in his life, Jesus was completely faithful to God. Faithful, obedient, loving. Right up to his death, which he died in obedience and love to his Father. So what God offers us to make us righteous is Jesus' own righteousness that he lived, that erases our unrighteous, unfaithful, unloving lives. Think of it like a videotape presentation of Jesus' life. What happens is Jesus' name on the box is scribbled out, and your name, our name, is written in its place. Jesus' righteous life is literally given to you. If you're a Christian, Jesus is your life. See, we don't have to live a perfect righteous life before God anymore because Jesus has lived it for us. So when in these verses Paul says some strange things, he says, I want to gain Christ, I want to be found in Christ. That's what he's talking about. What he means is, at the end of my life, I want it to turn out that I really have been given Jesus' righteousness that he lived as my own. So the right kind of righteousness comes completely from God, and it comes through the faithfulness of Christ. And thirdly and finally, how do we receive the righteousness of Christ that God gives us? Well, verse 9. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. That depends on faith. Now, here's where we come to how we receive righteousness. If someone asks you, will you marry me? You are not going to get to be that person's wife or husband, are you? Without saying yes, without responding. The right relationship with God that he offers us is not going to be ours if we do nothing about it. We have to receive it by faith. Now faith is easy to misunderstand. Let me give you just a very simple definition of faith. Faith is taking God at his word that he will do what he has promised us. Now, the attitude of religion, you remember, my own righteousness that I achieve, that can easily creep back in here when we think about faith. It's easy to think about faith as summoning up lots of faith, something I do, whipping up lots of it. You see that attitude whenever anybody says to a Christian, oh, I wish I had your faith. That's not what faith is at all. Faith means simply accepting that we have no righteousness of our own. We have only the righteousness that God gives us through the faithfulness of Christ. So that's the right kind of righteousness. It comes completely from God. It comes through the faithfulness of Christ. And we receive it by faith. Now, a very final thought. Paul says in verse 8, for Christ's sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse. All my religion, he says, I think of it as refuse. Now, actually, our translation here is a bit dainty. The word Paul uses does mean rubbish that you throw out. It also means dung and excrement. It's a very strong word. Paul says, in comparison to the righteousness with God that I receive through Christ, all my own religion is just a pile of excrement. Now that is shocking, and it's meant to be shocking. Getting that attitude is hard for us, for all of us. A big part of us throughout our lives will always want religion, won't it? It will want the righteousness that we can achieve. But what we must seek is the right kind of righteousness that God gives us through the faithfulness of Christ that we receive by faith.